This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. The time earlier this fall. The place, Harvard's Sanders Theater. The participants, a bunch of very silly people. The event, the 14th First Annual Ig Nobel Award Ceremony, hosted by the creators of the Annals of Improbable Research. This year, awardees included the inventor of the ever-popular comb-over hairstyle, who managed to get a patent on it to boot, and researchers who studied the connection between suicide and country music. You can't make this up. This hour, you'll get your highlights of the ceremony, a tribute to science that cannot or should not be reproduced. And now, Master of Ceremonies, Mark Abrams.
Thank you. Thank you. We are gathered here tonight to honor people whose achievements cannot or should not be reproduced. Every winner has done something that first makes people laugh and then makes them think. Tonight, 10 prizes will be given. The achievements speak for themselves, all too eloquently. And now, Miriam Bloom will deliver the traditional Ig Nobel welcome, welcome speech.
Welcome, welcome.
The editors of the Annals of Improbable Research have chosen a theme for this year's ceremony. This year's theme is diet. To introduce our theme of diet, or at least to say hello, here is our keynote speaker. In 2003, our keynote speaker was awarded an Ig Nobel Prize for publishing more than 80 academic reports about things that annoyed him. Please welcome from the Zicklin School of Business in New York City, Professor John Trinkus.
I appreciate if you don't start the clock yet. I'd like to have another Twinkie. Twinkies are so good. I got a whole pocket full of these. Everybody should have Twinkies. They're great stuff. Thank you. Have a Twinkie, sir. Here you go, boss. Have a Twinkie. There you go. Diets go back probably to the start of time. Eve had an apple diet that she had Adam on. And we talk about the ancient Greeks. You thought they were talking about philosophical things like the meaning of life. They were talking about diets. You had the ancient Romans. You thought they were talking about the design of the new catapult. Diets. The medieval period, you thought the lords were talking about increased productivity for the serfs. No. Diets. Elizabeth, you thought she was talking about expanding the empire? No. Diets. But none of them worked. Even the famous Trinkus Brussels sprouts diet did not work. Seems nobody liked Brussels sprouts. But tonight you're going to get the straight scoop about diets. And remember, you heard it here first. Another Ig Nobel first. And there you have it. All can be summed up in four words. And you should remember these four words. Keep your mouth shut.
Good evening. I am Dr. Micheline Matthews Roth of the Harvard Medical School, and tonight, as you know, the theme is diet, and tonight's ceremony includes a scientific experiment, a comparison test of several popular diets. We have here three volunteers. For the duration of tonight's ceremony, each volunteer will strictly adhere to a different diet. For an entire hour, each will eat nothing that is forbidden by his or her diet. We will weigh each volunteer now and then weigh each of them again at the end of the hour. This will be the first truly scientific comparison test of these diets. This is newsworthy. The fact that it's pointless is beside the point. Here we go. Dr. Michelle, please measure and record the pretest weight of each volunteer. Volunteer number one will adhere to a low-carbohydrate, high-protein diet. Volunteer number two will adhere to a high-carbohydrate, low-protein diet. Volunteer number three will adhere to a vegan diet. Dr. Michelle, will you record the weight? Good. Thank you, doctor. Thank you, volunteers. Good luck on your diets.
Here is a musical treat, the world premiere of a new mini opera entitled The Atkins Diet Opera.
The opera is about a legend, purely a legend. It has no basis in fact. None. Zip. Zero. At least we hope not. Be that as it may, let's join the legendary Dr. Atkins as he tells us that, with encouragement from his girlfriend, he's going to write a book.
As to whether she's fat or she's thin, there's no consequence. My made-up rules make Jane grin. She pretends they make sense. I say eat this but not that, and we both laugh like fat. It's delicious, and Jane always drools. We'll get rich overnight if I write a book. If it features the right kind of
get set for something special, the 24/7 lectures. We have invited several of the world's top thinkers to tell us very briefly what they are thinking about. Each 24/7 lecturer will explain her or his subject twice. First, a complete technical description in 24 seconds. And then, after a brief pause, a clear summary that anyone can understand in 7 words. The 24-second time limit will be enforced by our referee, Mr. John Barrett. Mr. Barrett, do you have any advice for our 24/7 lecturers?
Gentlemen, keep it clean.
Thank you, Mr. Barrett. Now let's have the first group of 24/7 lectures. The first 24/7 lecture will be delivered by Rich Roberts of New England Biolabs, a 1993 Nobel Prize winner in physiology or medicine for discovering the existence of junk DNA. His topic, heredity. First, a complete technical description of the subject in 24 seconds. On your mark, Get set. Go.
Heredity is a chronic incurable disease that is sexually transmitted and caused by a lethal mixing of human genes and parents. Certain parental unions produce an acute form as found in the House of Lords, Appalachia, and most of Saudi Arabia. Genghis Khan was personally responsible for 25% of the current pandemic. New research shows that President Bush may have a cure in hand. He advocates abstinence, or as they say in Texas, keep it in your genes.
And now a clear summary that anyone can understand in 7 words. On your mark, get set, go.
Heredity means blame your parents, not yourself.
The next 24/7 lecture will be delivered by Eugenie Scott, the director of the National Center for Science Education. Her topic, evolution. First, a complete technical description of the subject in 24 seconds. On your mark, get set, go.
In the beginning, there was a Big Bang. Then hydrogen, stars, galaxies, planets, a pale blue dot, a replicating molecule. Then a cell, tissues, photosynthesis, metazoa, an inordinate number of beetles. Lions and tigers and Steves, oh my. And consciousness to figure it all out and wonder at it all.
And now, a clear summary that anyone can understand in 7 words. On your mark, get set, go.
Evolution is the history of the universe. Thank you.
The final 24/7 lecture will be delivered by deep ocean explorer Sylvia Earle, the National Geographic Society's explorer in residence. Her topic, oceanography. First, a complete technical description of the subject in 24 seconds. On your mark, get set, go.
The science of exploring 60,000 kilometers of mountains, 97% of life on Earth, 97% of Earth's water, with 0.0097% of the funding needed to do the job. Accomplished by boatloads of people who naturally go overboard, are always in deep thought or deep trouble, whose business is going under, who pride themselves in being all wet and deal with drips all the time. Do it or die it.
And now, a clear summary that anyone can understand in 7 words. On your mark, get set.
I have two.
And now the first of 2 summaries, each 7 words, that anyone can understand due to their extreme and excessive clarity. On your mark, get set, go.
Scientific exploration of most of the Earth. That's one.
Yeah. Now go back to your mark and get set, go.
Scientifically, plunging in way over your head.
More silliness and more awards after this break. Stay with us. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. And now, more of the IGs.
And now, let's get it over with, ladies and gentlemen, the awarding of the 2004 IG Nobel Prizes. We are giving out 10 prizes. The winners come from nations on several continents. This year's winners have truly earned their prizes. Karen, please tell them what they've won.
This year's winners will each receive an IG Nobel Prize.
What else?
And a piece of paper saying they've won an Ig Nobel Prize.
And what else?
Well, it's signed by several laureates.
Anything else?
Not that I'm aware of.
How wonderful. Thank you, Karen. The Medicine Prize. The Ig Nobel Medicine Prize this year is awarded to Stephen Stack of Wayne State University and James Gundlach of Auburn University for their published report, The Effect of Country Music on Suicide.
There's an old country music joke that starts out, what do you get when you play a country record backwards? AA works, guns disappear, your spouse, your kids, and your dog come back. And the boss's son-in-law who got that job that should have been your promotion got caught in bed with the boss's secretary. You got your promotion, and the future looks bright. Now, studies have shown that every one of these reversals, except the dog, has been related to reduced suicide risk. And if anybody's interested in funding research on pets and suicide, please contact Steve Stack or me. Thank you.
The Physics Prize. The Ig Nobel Physics Prize is awarded this year to Ramesh Balasubramaniam of the University of Ottawa and Michael Turvey of the University of Connecticut and Yale University for exploring and explaining the dynamics of hula hooping.
We are most delighted, and now that we've resolved the fad of the 50s, hula hooping, I have a grand idea. How about a fad of the 30s? Swallowing goldfish.
Oh,
What do you think?
I like that. I like that very much. I think we should study swallowing goldfish while hula hooping.
Brilliant.
I think we'll win the Ig Nobel Prize in medicine for that one. What do you think?
The effects on heart.
The effects on heart.
Healthier heart, swallow goldfish, hula hoop.
Excellent.
We'll be back.
Excellent. We'll be back next year for the medicine prize.
The Public Health Prize. The Ig Nobel Prize for Public Health is awarded to Jillian Clark of the Chicago High School for Agricultural Sciences and then of Howard University in Washington, D.C. for investigating the scientific validity of the 5-second rule about whether it's safe to eat food that's been dropped on the floor.
Well, hello, I'm Jillian, as he said. Have any of you ever heard of the 5-second rule? Okay, I basically proved the science behind it. We went around at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. We swabbed floors to get the microflora count on floors, and we found that floors generally have no bacteria. So if you do drop something on the floor, you can eat it and nothing will happen. Thank you.
And now, Act Two of our mini opera, the Atkins Diet Opera. Here is our narrator, Karen Hopkin.
Dr. Atkins is all set to write his diet book. But first, there's a little something he needs to do. He has to choose one food, one simple basic foodstuff, to be the basis of the Atkins diet. But there are so many different foods to choose from. Which one will he pick? Like all good-hearted people, Dr. Atkins often looks to his pet cats for inspiration. Join us now as Dr. Atkins relaxes out in his yard, watching his cats interact with nature.
The Chemistry Prize. The Ig Nobel Chemistry Prize this year is awarded to the Coca-Cola Company of Great Britain for using advanced technology to convert liquid from the River Thames into Dasani, a transparent form of water which for precautionary reasons has been made unavailable to consumers. The Engineering Prize. The Ig Nobel Engineering Prize is awarded this year to Donald J. Smith and his father, the late Frank J. Smith of Orlando, Florida, for patenting the comb over.
My sister and I here are to accept this award on behalf of my grandfather, Frank J. Smith. As you can see there in the post-comb-over stage. Frank was a true American folk hero who always had a great sense of humor and would have enjoyed receiving this award tonight and would have appreciated the spirit in which it was given. It's important to note that Frank Smith did not actually invent the comb-over. One merely has to view the portraits of Renaissance nobility or the bust of Roman patricians to see that the comb-over was in practice long before Frank Smith came along. The purpose of patenting the comb-over was to record, document, and preserve the comb-over for posterity. He knew that there was a movement afoot, and some people even say a government conspiracy, to wipe the comb-over off the face of the earth. Many people believe that Benjamin Franklin and George Washington actually sported the comb-over and that powerful forces within the government had their portraits altered to erase this historical fact.
The Literature Prize. The Ig Nobel Literature Prize this year is awarded to the American Nudist Research Library of Kissimmee, Florida, for preserving nudist history so the rest of us can see it.
Wow. This would be a whole lot easier if we were at the library and I just didn't have to imagine you naked. I'm actually here just accepting the award on behalf of the American Nudist Research Library, which is located on the grounds of the beautiful Cypress Cove Nudist Resort in Kissimmee, Florida. I was recruited for this job by my mother, who is the president of the American Nudist Research Library. Let's hear it from my mom. I am not from Kissimmee, Florida. I am, though, from Holyoke, Massachusetts, which is the home of the Volleyball Hall of Fame. We've identified the nudists in the audience. The board and officers, as mentioned, the weather, the board and officers asked me to convey their regrets that they aren't able to attend, but no one had a thing to wear. So. So anyway, the library, actually, this is its 25th anniversary. It's an all-volunteer library, started in 1979. It's a library of over 7,000 volumes. There are researchers from New Zealand, Australia, Japan, England, and Canada who all pilgrimage to Kissimmee, Florida to go look in the archives at the library, looking for things like sunshine and health, British naturism, and travel naturally. So, and I'm thinking that when the Library of Congress funds are cut, then this will be, you know, what goes, so.
The Psychology Prize. This year's Psychology Prize is awarded to Daniel Simons of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign and Christopher Chabris of Harvard University for demonstrating that when people pay close attention to something, it's all too easy to overlook anything else, even a man in a gorilla suit.
I'm Dan. This is Chris.
Our results show just how oblivious people can be to what's going on in the world around them. We did this study as an exercise in a class we taught here 6 years ago. It worked really well at Harvard. But because of the student-faculty ratio, we have a lot of people to thank for working on the project with us.
First, two of the giants of American psychology, Dick Neisser, whose work in the 1970s inspired our study, and Jerry Kagan, who works here, who lent us his gorilla suit.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And now, Act 3 of our mini-opera. Here is our narrator, Karen Hopkin.
Thank you, Mark. Meat. As all the world knows, Dr. Atkins chose meat as the basis for his diet. And the public, went crazy, buying as many copies of his diet book as they could get their ravenous little hands on. Of course, Dr. Atkins helped this along with some good basic salesmanship. Let's join Dr. Atkins now as he sings the well-balanced third act of tonight's opera.
Some doctors say an apple a day makes a perfect diet regimen. Some make you pledge eat nothing but veg for a perfect diet regimen. Many diets I have heard cut your intake to a third. They're perfect diets, at least if you're a bird. You'll eat just like a cat, and a nice fat cat at that, with my perfect diet regimen. First, understand that protein is grand in my perfect diet regimen. Then nice juicy meat is what you should eat in a perfect diet regimen. Eat like an aristocrat, lots of steak and lots of fat, bloody good eating. And what's wrong with that? Eat it cooked, eat it raw. Oh, just go ahead and gnaw. It's a perfect diet regimen. People demand that something be banned in a perfect diet regimen. That's why I said, thou shalt not eat bread in a perfect diet regimen. I've identified the traits that make carbohydrates one leading cause of high suicide rates. So forget the French fries, that is not what I advise. In a perfect diet regimen, want to lose weight, want to feel great, try my perfect diet regimen. It's no conceit to say it's complete, it's my perfect diet regimen. Course my diet can't erase laws that nature put in place. What really matters is just don't stuff your face. But please put that aside, oh, I urge you now with pride, try my perfect diet regimen.
We'll be back in a minute with more of the 14th First Annual Ig Nobel Awards. Stay with us. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. And now, more of the IGs.
The Biology Prize. The Ig Nobel Biology Prize this year is awarded to Ben Wilson of the University of British Columbia, Lawrence Dill of Simon Fraser University, Robert Batty of the Scottish Association for Marine Science, Magnus Wahlberg of the University of Aarhus, and Håkan Westerberg of Sweden's National Board of Fisheries for showing that herrings apparently communicate by farting.
Thank you. So, I think this subject is very appropriate for the theme of this evening. A herring swallows air, and if you do that, you get gas, and then if you fart underwater, it makes very peculiar sounds. So, and I send a special thank to the Swedish Navy who sponsored this research.
Thank you. They didn't sponsor our research. We have to thank others for that, but there are too many to mention. What I should say is just think next time you take a swim in the sea, herring have been farting in there. But I also must say that the first proof that it was communication was because I heard it over the telephone. Ben Wilson played the sound to me over the telephone and asked me if I had any idea how the herring might be making this. And so it went from there. Ben couldn't be here tonight. We wish he could, but our other colleague, Larry Dill, is.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that, explain the communication thing. We believe that the herring are probably speaking to one another to maintain the coherence of their school. It's sort of a bonding thing. But then pre-adolescent boys have been doing this for millennia, I think. Anyway, I just wanted to say how flattered we are to be here in this seat of learning, and it's been a gas. Thank you.
And now the final act of our mini-opera, the Atkins Diet Opera. Our singers will be joined by the Nobel laureates and all the other distinguished scientists who you see here on stage. Here is our narrator, Karen Hopkins.
Thank you, Coffee Bean. As you all know, the Atkins Diet became the most popular diet ever. Everyone followed it, and everyone became slim, healthy, and attractive. But now Dr. Atkins has a problem on his hands. What should he do with himself now? Join us as Dr. Atkins and his advisory board of distinguished scientists try to invent an all-new, all-improved, new Atkins diet. What food will they choose as the basis of this new diet? Something simple? Something commonplace? Something other than meat? What food will they choose?
How about tofu? How about tofu? It's great stuff. It's great stuff. Is it titillating? Is it titillating? Not enough. Not enough.
How about spinach? How about spinach? It's great stuff. It's great stuff. Is it stimulating? Is it stimulating? Not enough. Not enough.
How about cabbage? How about cabbage? It's great stuff. It's great stuff.
How about tofu? How about tofu? It's great stuff. It's great stuff. Is it titillating? Is it titillating? Not enough. Not enough. How about tofu? How about tofu? It's great stuff. It's great stuff. Is it titillating?
Tofu doesn't cut it. Spinach won't fly. And cabbage is discouraging. But you can't keep a good diet, Doctor, down. So join us now in the thrilling conclusion to the opera, as Dr. Atkins has a refreshing and inspirational cup of coffee.
Tofu, spinach, cabbage. Ugh. It's enough to put you off food entirely. I need a cup of coffee. Coffee! Do you know the coffee diet? Though it seems a bit obscure, there's no reason not to try it. It's so simple and so pure. Coffee's good at elevating your base metabolic rate. Gets your brainstem oscillating. You'll feel great. All you'll drink is coffee, coffee, coffee. Lunch and dinner, coffee, coffee, coffee. You'll get thinner. Coffee, coffee, coffee. Saint or sinner, all you drink is coffee, 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 coffee. Oh, as an appetite suppressant, coffee is incessant, yet it makes you effervescent. Coffee's just a bad thing, worth it to a habit, keeps you hopping like a rabbit. To keep up, all you do to quantify it is to count each coffee cup. One day, 20, more than 20 cups a day. A habit makes, 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 habit, 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 habit. Oh, as an appetite suppressant, coffee is incessant. Just a babbit, turns into a habit, keeps you
Isaac McStoots, Jane Tankersley, Margo Button, and everyone.
I'm Dr. Roth from the Harvard Medical School, and now it's time to finish our scientific experiment, our comparison test of several popular diets. Each of our three volunteers has strictly adhered to his or her diet. Now we will measure the results. Dr. Michelle, please measure and record the post-test weight of each volunteer. Volunteer number one has been adhering to a low-carbohydrate, high-protein diet. Doctor, is there any change in weight? No? Good. Volunteer number two adhered to a high-carbohydrate, low-protein diet. Dr. Michelle, is there any change in weight? No? Good. Volunteer number three adhered to a vegan diet. Doctor, is there any change in weight? No? No? Good. Thank you, Dr. Michelle. Thank you, volunteers. We have our data, and we can draw our conclusion. Under sufficiently strict conditions, all diets are equally ineffective. That's our conclusion. It's scientific. It's newsworthy. And the fact that it's pointless is still beside the point. Thank you.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
The Economics Prize. This year's Ig Nobel Prize in Economics is awarded to the Vatican for outsourcing prayers to India. The winners could not or would not be with us tonight, and no, we do not have a demonstration. The Peace Prize. The Ig Nobel Peace Prize is awarded this year to Daisuke Inoue of Hyogo, Japan, for inventing karaoke, Let me read to you the complete citation. The complete citation says the prize is for inventing karaoke, thereby providing an entirely new way for people to learn to tolerate each other. Here is our winner.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. I am Daisuke Inoue. I am from Japan. I am a last samurai, mini chomage. Actually, I am the inventor of karaoke. I am very happy to be here and nominated for the Ig Nobel Peace Prize. Once upon a time, I had the dream to teach people to swing. So I invented the karaoke machine. I don't know, it was the start of something of big. Now, more than ever, I want to teach the world to see perfect harmony. You see? Coca-Cola.
Let's party! Thank you! Arigato gozaimashita!
Aaron Hopkin and the Nobel laureates with a special personal tribute to Mr. Inoue.
The boys and I wanted to sing you a little song. This one's for you, Mr. Inoue. You're just too good to be true. I can't take my eyes off of you.
And that does it for another year. Our thanks to Frank Cunningham, Robin Moore, and Miles Smith for recording the production. This program is produced by Annette Heist and senior producer Karen Berghoff. Charles Berquist is our director and web producer. Our interns are Corey Binns and Abby Leonard. If you'd like to write to us, please send your letters to Talk of the Nation Science Friday, 55 West 45th Street, 4th floor, New York, New York, 10036. Also, you can surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com, where you'll find Science Friday's Kids Connection. And for internet mail, you can leave us an email there also. Have a great weekend! I'm Ira Flatow in New York.